loving God. We are at this moment in time confronted with your words in Scripture. We know, O Lord, that you yourself are the Word, and your Word has been recorded for each one of us so that it might penetrate deep into our being, that we might be transformed by it. So, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work at this time to speak to each one of us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. Well, I'm going to do something that I've never done before. I usually like to preach off a written manuscript, but all kinds of things happened this week that prevented me from doing that. So I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit enables me to do, have a conversation with you, if that's okay. All right? Well, I've been preaching through the Blessed series. So let me first, for those of you who have been here, let me see if you remember what the acronyms BLESS stands for. So the B, who can remember what that stands for? Beginning in prayer. That's right. L, listen, listening. E, eating together. Absolutely. So today we are in the first S of the BLESS acronym. And the S stands for serving. All right? And this serving is what we are going to be talking about today. But I'm actually going to break up the serving component into two parts. And so I'm going to talk about the first part today and the next part next Sunday. And the scriptures that we looked at today actually talk about two ways in which Jesus Christ entered into the serving dynamic with his community. The first was a story of how Mary anointed his feet with expensive perfume. And the second part is how he washes the feet of his disciples. As you can see here, there are two dynamics. The first part is where Jesus allowed the people to serve him. And the second part is where he was serving other people. Right? And so I am going to begin with the first part in the way Jesus allowed people to serve him. Now I'm beginning here because I think that this is actually what is more difficult for a congregation like ours, a Mennonite congregation. You know, this is, service is the one thing that the world knows us for, right? We serve silently, we serve humbly, we serve selflessly, we serve other people. And so that is the part of us that comes instinctively and naturally. But there is this other dynamic to serving that actually is quite different from the kind of service that we have been, that comes naturally to us. And so that's what I'm going to talk about today. You see, when Jesus was in this home, and this is the story of Jesus' feet being anointed with expensive perfume, is there in all the Gospels, and each Gospel has a little bit of a different tweak to the story, and we get a little bit of different details from it. But the essence is this, that he goes into this home. In Matthew's Gospel, it is the home of a Pharisee, and he's seated there, and the host is supposed to have actually provided some means for the feet of the guest to be washed, right? Now, the Pharisees, they invited Jesus, but in that instance, in the way it is written in Matthew, they don't bother to make arrangements for Jesus' feet to be washed, right? Now Jesus ignores that, and he goes there and he reclines at the table like it was the custom, and then the food was served. Now Mary, Mary Magdalene, she was there, and the way it is written in Matthew, she was standing behind him, and she was so overcome by what Jesus had done for her that she starts weeping. And those tears actually fall on Jesus' feet. And then as she sees that, she opens some really expensive perfume and she anoints Jesus' feet with it. And then she didn't have any cloth, and so she uses her own hair to wipe Jesus' feet. Now, this perfume, Judas Iscariot was there, and he says, you know, what are you doing, Mary? She receives a lot of flack for it, because that jar of perfume costed 300 denarii, right? One denarii was one day's wage in those days. So 300 denarii is a year's wage. So she takes this entire flask of super expensive perfume and pours it on Jesus' feet. Now I actually researched the kind of expensive perfumes that are currently there, and you won't believe it. The perfumes that the most expensive perfume, if you want to buy the most expensive perfume today, it's $7,000 for 1 ounce. So if you were dealing with a bottle of maybe 3 ounces, that would be $21,000. 4 ounces, $28,000. So you can easily see how the most expensive perfumes today would equal to an annual wage of somebody who's in the middle class. You can see that, right? So imagine that you had perfume that was that expensive, and Jesus came to your home. Now, you didn't know who he was at that time, right? You knew that he was somebody special. Maybe he did something special for you. But to be able then to invest all of that perfume on him at that point of time would have been a really, really remarkable thing. And not just the expense of it, but even the gesture, the humility with which she did it was just simply astounding. So you can imagine that the people around him would have been very uncomfortable and say, what are you doing? Why are you wasting so much money? This doesn't make any sense. You know, all of the other things that we could have done with this kind of money, right? But Jesus, now here's the important thing. Jesus, he actually stops all these other people in their tracks and says, stop getting on her case, guys. What she did was an honorable thing. This perfume has been used to anoint me to prepare for my burial. It's a big, big honor. And Jesus says something in turn for her. And she says, this is in the Matthew's rendering of the story, he says that wherever the gospel is preached, anywhere in the world, what this woman has done, that story will be told and her name will be honored. Okay? And that's a really big deal. It's a huge return compliment to Mary Magdalene. Very few people have been spoken of in such high praise by Jesus in the Gospels, right? Now, before I come to analyze why and what is going on here, I want to give you a couple of other examples of this kind of thing that Jesus is doing, and let's see if you can actually thread what is common together. So another famous story that Jesus has is the story of the feeding of the 5,000, right? We all know that story. He takes a small a plate of 2 loaves and fish, and he prays and he multiplies it and he feeds 5,000 people. Right? We all know that. But here's what we don't often think about in that story. Yes, part of the purpose of that miracle was to communicate to the group of people that he is like Moses, providing the people in the wilderness food from heaven to provide for their physical needs if they first seek the teaching that comes from God, right? So that was the larger purpose of it. But Jesus, because he was God, could have done that by directly providing food from heaven. Could he have not? He could have done that. But to start off this miracle, he does something that he didn't have to do. He asks for somebody to give up their food first. Right? And this little boy, who has probably the only one who had food remaining after 3 days of following Jesus, he says, "Here's this food that I have, Jesus." He takes it. Now Jesus takes that food, multiplies it 1,000 times fold, feeds the entire crowd. Now I want you to be in the position of that little boy. Imagine what he would come up, what he would feel at the end of this process. He is the one who contributed food for that whole group, wasn't it? So he was the most honored person in that entire gathering. Would he ever be able to forget that? Jesus enabled him to be so honored because of what he contributed to that meal. Well, if you look at the way Jesus functioned, this is not an isolated pattern. This is not something that he did coincidentally. If you look at his work of spreading the gospel and inaugurating the kingdom of God, the first thing that he does is he invites people to be part of his team. Right? The other aspect of Jesus' 3.5 years in ministry is that, well, not only did he take care of his team, but he financially provided for his team. Now, how did he financially provide for his team? He had many options. You know the story of when the Romans came to collect his tax, right? And he had to give the tax to the government. How did he do it? He called up a fish and he took a coin from the fish's mouth, right? Couldn't he have done that 1,000 times over to provide the financial needs of the team? He could have. But what does the Gospel of Luke say he did to take care of his team? He actually invites a group of women to contribute from their wealth to provide for Jesus' needs and for the needs of his entourage. Now imagine all of those people who financially took care of Jesus' ministry when he was here on earth. Imagine at the end of this process, when Jesus has died on the cross, he rose again, and he has set in motion a new church that has taken over the Roman Empire. And now imagine those women saying, "You know, this is amazing. We never knew that this is going to be the end of the story. But we were able to contribute to Jesus when he walked this earth." So if you look at these four stories, what you find is that Jesus allowed people to serve him in four ways. He allowed people to serve him by contributing of their financial means. He allowed people to give him their time. The disciples, he called them from their profession to follow him. He was allowing them to give him his time. He was allowing this little kid to provide the food. He was allowing people to provide him materially for his ministry. And finally, through the story that we start out today, with the story of Jesus' his anointing by Mary Magdalene, he allowed people to serve Him but through their devotion. Four ways that Jesus allowed people to serve Him. Now, why did He do that? It is because of the way that each of these people served Jesus and Jesus' mission and ministry in this world. These people were uniquely blessed. They were blessed in ways that they would have never ever been able to be blessed otherwise, because of what they contributed and how much what they contributed got multiplied by Jesus. So the question to us is this: in the work that God is calling us to do, this much is certain, that as we engage with our neighborhood, that we engage with our constituents around us, service is definitely a big piece of it. But it's not just what we can do for other people directly in serving them, but if we have to follow Jesus' pattern, then we have to imitate everything. And one of the ways we do that is by giving people an opportunity to contribute to the work of the kingdom. And we do that in four ways. We give people an opportunity to contribute financially. We give people an opportunity to contribute their time. We give people an opportunity to contribute materially. And we give people an opportunity to contribute by their devotion. So the question is, how can we give people these four opportunities in our neighborhood? Now, just a word of caution here, because some of this stuff has been overdone in certain sections of the church by people saying that if you contribute financially, you are going to be so blessed, and so you need to give and all of that. And that can be very easily misconstrued or abused and things like that. And so when we invite contribution, we also have to do it in a way that Jesus did. Jesus did not invite contribution by laying a guilt trip on people. Jesus did not invite contribution by putting fear in the hearts of people. Jesus did not invite contribution by arm-twisting people. But Jesus simply presented a choice to people and said, I am giving you this opportunity. You don't have to take it. But if you take it, then you will experience a blessing that you've never been able to experience before. And so the question for us is, as a congregation, how can we serve the community by providing the community an opportunity to serve not necessarily us, but serve the purposes of the kingdom of God? They too can be part of God's mission and God's work in all kinds of ways. And we can invite this contribution not by, you know, guilt or by fear or by manipulation, but simply by doing it the way Jesus did. We want them to contribute simply because we want to see them being blessed. The way Mary was blessed, the day the little kid was blessed, the way everybody who has ever done anything for Jesus has been blessed. So I invite each one of us to think about and pray about this. As we think about the people around us, our neighbors, those who might want to be part of the mission of our church, how can we invite them to play a role in what we are doing here? So, as you think about this, you know, we can begin a conversation about that and see where God takes us from there. So, I hope that you will be in serious prayer about this. And next week, we will turn the tables and see how we can then be in service of our community. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your work Lord, we want to do your will, and we want to do it in your way. And we want to do it in your strength. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless and direct each one of us so that we can function as your ambassadors, as your disciples in this community that we know needs you so badly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We have a closing hymn.